Well, I'm going to be sharing a text from Luke chapter 1, but before I get there, I really feel that this is like the Lord opening a window for us to see how things are in heaven. Wouldn't that be a good thing? We live in the earth too long, and it's like it gets old really fast. You want to hear more news about the Middle East? You want to hear news about China? It always seems like it's the same. But we know that the Lord is in charge. The Lord encouraged us in that this morning, in fact, that it is His will that goes before all wills, above every name, above every power and dominion. There's no elder that's bigger than He is. There's no church group that's bigger than He is. There's no movement in the church that's bigger than He is. Jesus is the Lord, period. But I believe this. There's a prophetic sense that's coming forth in the land through all of these things that we need to take part in. And prophetic, to me, means a lot more than just saying, thus saith the Lord. It means that there is a eternal nature that He wants to bring here to us on earth. It is, and we aren't just living our lives out in quiet desperation, waiting for the Lord to return. That's not me. I'm not doing it. But rather, the Lord Himself speaks into our life in the morning when we rise up and says, this is the day the Lord has made, not you. We should rejoice, yeah, amen, and be glad in it. So even before I get out of bed, I don't know about how you guys do this, but my ankle and my toes go down and massage the other toe and the other leg, and I say, oh, that was good. So there are good things that happen even before you get up in the morning. And the Lord says, well, rejoice in that, will you? I made that toe. And there's a prophetic sense that He just breathes into us. And I was looking through the window shades this morning. I'd see the trees in the background, and they were going up and down according to the window frame of reference. But it wasn't the trees that were moving. It was my lungs breathing in the air that the Lord is breathing into me. We are to have a conversation with God from the moment we wake to the time we go to bed. The omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal Creator of all things is waiting for us to speak into our life. Before we were born. Wow. This is a time when individual worth seems to be diminishing. We have to be a part of a gang. We have to be a part of a movement. But that's just not true. The world is saying to you, your life doesn't make any difference. Whether you live or die, there'll be a funeral, and some people will say good things or not. And the Lord is saying, that is so wrong. Who you are, what you are, and what He's breathing into you does make a difference. Is making a difference, and did make a difference. Let me tell you something. Prayer is our first weapon in spiritual warfare. It's a weapon of defense when the enemy comes to our door, but it's also a weapon of offense. We don't have to stand and take it. See, the schemes of the Holy Spirit, I have a feeling, are probably more smart than His. Jesus overcame Satan, not just because He knew the Word of God, but because He knew the relationship that He had with His Father. How did He know that? Because He and His Father had a conversation all the time. Prayer without ceasing is having that conversation between you and God when you're driving your car, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you're here in church, when you're surrounded in the grocery store by those who don't even know the Lord. That happens to me all the time. We were in Colorado, and this girl was waiting on us, and I see she had a brace on her arm. I saw she's got carpal tunnel. What's that? A prophetic word. She's got carpal tunnel. So I said to her, so are you suffering from carpal tunnel? Yeah, I am. Was that brace helping you very much? No. Do you wear it at night? Yeah, but it's not really helping. So I prayed with her. You know, I don't know what happens when those kind of things happen, but the Lord does. My feeling is that a lot of these words that come out from our mouth are not dropping to the ground and listening to the enemy's lies, but rather the Holy Spirit takes them, picks them up, and puts them in their life. Jesus had a father-son relationship with God, the Father. He knew that nothing could come between him and his dad. The same goes for you. You should all be like leaping for joy. That's an awesome place to be, isn't it? Okay, now the text that I want to refer to is in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And it's when the announcement to poor Zacharias, not poor, but he was blessed. Isn't it interesting? The Lord wants to bless, and we take it as a curse, right? Well, poor Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, verse 7, she had no child. She was barren, and they were both well advanced in years, so I'm guessing they gave up. So it was that as he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, so he wasn't a high priest. He was doing it as part of his daily, yearly, whatever, routine. And the lot fell to burn incense when he was, and he went into the temple of the Lord. And a whole multitude of people were outside that hour of incense. So there was a spiritual thing going on, probably a ritual, right? So this could have been like the organized church. Things are going on as usual, and then things happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, when an angel of the Lord appears, especially in that place, I think that would draw Zacharias' attention. And indeed, it did. Standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. He wasn't just afraid. Fear fell upon him. It's like, oh, probably couldn't talk even then. Like, what am I supposed to do? And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." It's good news. You shall call his name John. So he didn't get a chance to even name his son. How rude. Things that men do sometimes is not what God wants. We heard that this morning. But what God wants to do, a name that wasn't even a family name. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine or strong drink, but also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. Look at that prophecy. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. Whoa. Seriously? Yeah. And he will turn many children of Israel to the Lord their God. Wow, what a prophecy. The angel of the Lord spoke these words to him. He will also go before him in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Something everybody was praying for. Our children are all gone. Where are they going? They're all doing terrible things. The disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Among those, of course, were the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Zacharias said to the angel, now when you respond to an angel, be careful. Angels have a separate theology than you do. Theology is a study of who God is. And angels have an idea that they do know who God is, really close up and personal. And Zacharias said, how shall I know this? That's a logical earthly question, right? Well, how should I know that? I would say, well, Elizabeth's going to get bigger. For I know I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. We sang that song this morning, above all powers, above all principalities, even above Gabriel is the Lord Jesus. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Gabriel was showing you a little bit about the theology of how angels feel about standing before the Lord God Almighty. You may think, well, it's just something we do on Sunday morning. Maybe it's something you do on Wednesday in home group. Maybe it's something you do whenever. But Gabriel said, thinks that that's a big deal. The angel's theology says that's a big deal. May not be for you, old man, but for Gabriel it was. I am Gabriel, stands in the presence of God. Whoa. I was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute, not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, Gabriel, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Because Gabriel knew the words he was speaking were not his own words, but the words of the Lord himself. When you stand before the presence of God, you have that breathed into you. And when you speak the words of God, don't just walk away and say, well, I hope that was God. The theology of the angels is that's not true. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord and bears consequences. Well, the people that were outside waited for Zacharias. Wasn't showing up that day. They marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But he came out, couldn't speak to them. They perceived, they were intelligent people, believe me, this is kind of funny. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So he was using his hands, apparently, like, you know, I don't know, he didn't know hand signals, but enough to communicate with them. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed. So he finished his duty, that he departed in his own to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. She hid herself for 5 months, so she was already 5 months pregnant at that point. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people. Having children actually is a blessing. Do you hear that, world? It's not a curse. It's a super blessing. Because it's what God is doing on the earth, bringing forth life. He's not doing this on the moon. He's not doing this on Mars or Jupiter. He's doing it here on earth. In the womb of every mother on Mother's Day, rejoice that you have been called to be blessed. Elizabeth did. She had a lot to be concerned about. Being old in age, she had a lot to be concerned about her health. Being pregnant at that age. Now, things get really prophetic. I don't know if Zacharias ever prophesied before, but now he steps out of today, as God is calling us to do, step out of today's history, and he goes right into eternity, and he begins to prophesy things that eternal, things that God promised in the past, present, and future. And he says in verse 68, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Oh God, we don't thank him enough for that. He visits and redeemed, bought back his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he's not just talking about John here. He's talking about the Lord, the Christ, the King of Kings. Verse 70, and he spoke by mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. Ooh, I wonder who that was. The prophetic voice of the Lord, it's almost saying it doesn't really need a man or a woman to prophesy. It comes forth from God's mouth since the world began. That we should be saved from our enemies. Do you believe you have an enemy? Jesus says, they hated me. How much more are they going to hate you? We have enemies. We have behind those enemies. Enemies are our very group. The dark angels of heaven that fell with Lucifer. The demons upon the earth. Those that the enemy recruits that can even be in the church. False prophets. We don't see too many. Well, they're around. Scripture says they are. We'd be saved from our enemies. We're somehow not going to be subject to them. You hear that, Washington? We're not going to be subject to the evil that's in the hearts of men. And from the hand of all who hate us, to perform, that is the Lord, the mercy promised to our fathers, and remember his holy covenant. So Paul last week was beginning to teach us about covenant. I'm not trying to steal his thunder here, but covenant is an important thing. Covenant is a contract between one person and another, between you and God. This holy covenant. And I can believe that Gabriel, if he was going to share you with you the covenant, and you didn't believe it, he might do something about it. Okay, I submit. Because it isn't your covenant, it's God's covenant. It's his contract. And I heard a brother once say, he says, I kept my end of the contract. Why didn't the Lord keep up his end? Well, he did. Maybe not in your timing. Maybe not according to your will, but according to the eternal riches in heaven, he has. Oh, don't go to the places that you don't want to go. Worse things than what Zechariah went through may befall you. Not trying to condemn you, but be careful how you judge God and his contracts with you and the church. Has God given up on the church? No, he hasn't. He has a contract with the bride. Be careful what you say about the bride. After all, there's going to be a wedding day. And that day, all things will be made known to us about the bride. Things we would say, that could never happen, and it did. Things happen among the youth and colleges. They're not all rebelling against Israel, but there are some who are turning their hearts to God. Verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. When the Lord makes an oath, you can be sure that it will take place. It's not up for discussion. To grant to us being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve him. Now here's this is the big deal. Serve him without fear. So many of us have turned to him and we're so full of fear of the angel, of the Lord maybe, or anything, but we're just like, we're just surrounded by fear. But the Lord says, no. Fear and reverence toward God, yes, but not the fear that the enemy puts in your heart. You're going to serve him without fear this time. Now, in the Old Testament, they served him with fear. But here in the New Testament, we're going to serve him without fear. Oh, you better move over, Lucifer, because make room for the children of God. Amen. Verse 75. In holiness and righteousness before him. What? Holiness and righteousness before him. All the days of our life. Not just a few that we can separate out and say, I give these days of fasting to the Lord. All the days of our life. Whoa. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. He's talking to a kid that hasn't even been born yet. See, when you pray, you can step out of time and pray with the eternal purposes of God in your heart. You'll be called the prophet of the highest, and you will go before you, the face of the Lord, and prepare his way, that is, Lord Jesus, and give knowledge of the salvation, of salvation, to his people by the remission of their sins. Why would they go to John's baptism except to be forgiven of their sin? That means that they had to like admit that they did something wrong, that there was sin and the sinful nature within them that needed to be dealt with. Well, the people of Israel already knew that, but they didn't go to John in a river. They went to the priest and they would kill an animal. Rabbit, sparrows, chickens, I don't know, whatever they could find. A bull, a ram. And that's how their sins were forgiven every year. They could walk away that day and say, wow, I feel so much lighter and all my sins are gone. Only for a little while, because that sinful nature is still there. You see that cross behind me? That's when it happened that all that changed. There's no more blood sacrifice for them or anybody that wants to have blood sacrifice. The only Lamb of God is our Lord Jesus, who died for our remissions. You can't go to John's baptism anymore. The baptism is only a seal of the covenant. You go down into his death and out by his, in the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus because of what he did for us at the cross. There's a lot of theology I'm giving you. But it's eternal theology. It isn't just ideas that were brought forth by the church through the centuries. These are things that the scripture says today. And this is a verse I quoted recently, verse 78. Through the mercy of God? No, the tender mercy of God. I rub my toes in the morning. There's a tender mercy. It isn't like, wake up. Yeah, I'll give you a pinch. Now, my brothers and sisters, when they woke me up when I was a teenager, probably did give me a pinch or two, but not the Lord. The tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise or the day spring from on high has, past tense, visited us. I would say is, present tense, and will, future tense, visit us. It isn't just one shot and it's done. Like John was saying, what a beautiful display of the power of God two nights ago, and some could see it even last night, but it was just incredible. I've got to show you this. You can't see it from where you are, but it's not bad. Look at that. It's all red. Like the blood of Christ. Just fill the sky. The power of a solar flare. I heard from a sister that was down in Key West, and she took some pictures, and she got some from Key West. That's unbelievable. Well, the day spring from on high, every morning you see it, you have to get up a little bit earlier now, it's a blessing from God. And when the sun goes down, it's just another blessing to say, don't forget, tomorrow's going to be a blessing for you. Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness. What is this for? It's just for you. Just breathing it in for your own body, for your life, for your purposes, for your children? No. This is for something much bigger than who you are as a single person. And the enemy will never get this. He says, your life is not worth it. It doesn't mean anything to anybody in Washington or anywhere else. They could care less whether you live or die. That is so not true. The words that you speak bring life to the earth. And without it, there would be a darkness that would be so dark that it would not be known. But this is for those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, not just darkness and light, but the shadow of death, death of monumental proportions. If you don't believe me, just go back and take a look at some of the atomic bomb explosions in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and all the ones, the test bombing they did in the Bikini Islands in the Pacific. Unbelievable power of destruction and death. But it's going to deliver us from that and is guide our feet in the way of peace. The first thing the angels talk about when they announced the birth of Jesus was a peace between you and the Father. That's an important thing. See, angels have a whole different theology than we have. Yeah, peace. Oh, yeah, peace, brother. No. The peace of God is unbelievable. How a God of the Creator could even care and wonder about who we are. But not only wonder about who we are. He's breathing into our life the spirit of prophecy. I dare not come up here behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God without Him breathing into my mouth and touching my lips. I dare not. I'm sure that's the way the angels would think about it. Gabriel would say, I dare not speak something that's on my own account. I dare not. Now, let me tell you something about me personally. I began a relationship with God fairly young. And it was a relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know how I fell into that, but I did. And I really loved to worship the Lord. I really loved singing all of the hymns that we sang in the Episcopal Church. I liked getting up early and having communion. And we were taught something about communion that Paul touched upon today. The communion, which is a fellowship, is a part of what we are partaking in. In the Episcopal Church, that's what they really emphasize, and even goes beyond the sacrament of communion. It says it's a communion of the Episcopal diocese of wherever they're from. So when the African Episcopal Church, had a conclave somewhere, I guess, in England, they came against all of the Episcopalians and those who wanted to separate from the church doctrine of man and woman. And the African communion said, no way. And there was, according to the Episcopal Church and Anglican Church, a separation of the communion of the church. At that point, they'd say, yeah, we're no longer in communion with them. Whoa. And be careful stepping on this theology, right? But there were, it taught me something. Excuse me. It taught me something as a child that stuck with me my whole life. That as I take a part in communion, as we did today, and I bite into that wafer or bread or whatever it might be, that I'm saying I'm a part of what God is doing on this earth today. It is a communion of saints and join with the angels in heaven. We have one purpose, and that is the purposes of God. Thy will be done on this earth just like it's in heaven. What a communion that is. I didn't know much about it as a child, but I began to grow in what that means. But I knew that Jesus had a resurrection power that was far beyond me, that I wasn't tasting yet. And he began to speak to me prophetically, I believe, in the Spirit. My life went through various experiences and trials, as yours does and will. We find ourselves in places and like, whoa, what am I doing here? You may not know much, but if you have the Holy Spirit, he can guide you in the most treacherous places. Where angels fear to tread. Remember that song? Yeah, you can go to those places and not be worried about your own life. But there was a friendship that was implanted, put in a seed form in me as a child, friendship that would grow and grow and grow and continue to grow even to this day. He's not done. He's not finished with the church. He loves her, and he will present her to himself without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Oh, let's hold on that for a minute. He will present the church to himself. He's got a lot to do. We hear a lot about this. Jesus can't come back because there's a lot to do. Yeah, that's right. But we're not about doing it. He is about doing it. He's breathing into his church, even to the young children, college kids, those of you, some who just came to the Lord. He's breathing into them, not just you. People that know the Lord, he encourages them in very subtle but effective ways. Is that true? Am I saying that correctly? He can change your heart. It may not be, thus saith the Lord, you know, you are going down the wrong road, take a left instead of a right, or right instead of a left. He might say that to you, but sometimes it's very, very subtle. You might say something against a brother or sister which you didn't even think was bad. And the Lord said, look out, watch it, stop. What? What did I say? He said, you're not respecting what I've done in that person's life. Like the stomping of feet that Brad talked about. You're not respecting of what I'm doing in that person's life. Maybe they don't have the mental facilities and capabilities to go to places where I'm bringing you. Maybe they'll never know physics and things like that and chemistry. Maybe they don't want to know. But the word of the Lord is theirs and belongs to them. Through that friendship we have with the Lord, he encourages us. Oh, how special that is. Circumstances that led me to meet my dear wife. She was the last person I expected to meet. And yet I did meet her, and in that brought a whole new world, not just in my personal relationship with her, but to the Lord, because I met Dale Rumble and what God was doing in Kingston, New York, which I had no idea, none, zero, no idea was there. And the Lord himself hadn't really revealed it all, even to the men of that group. It was a mystery. And we started relating to brothers like John Poole from Philadelphia Gospel Temple and began to teach us about plurality, began to teach us about relationship with Jesus and how wonderful that is, not just the doctrine. Oh, if I can get us away from doctrine for a minute. Doctrine is good. Sound doctrine is wonderful. But it's the doctrine is only about something that's even more real and tangible than just words. We sang it today. I'm lost for words. Oh, we need to get there a lot more than we do. Prophecy was formal in those days. Remember that? It's have to say, thus saith the Lord, before we prophesy. I can remember it. If you just started prophesying, people would not recognize you as a prophet. Wouldn't happen. You'd have to say, thus saith the Lord. Then say whatever God wanted you to say. So I had a lot of Pentecostal ritualism, for sure. Nothing wrong with ritualism, but it's like, it's not quite hitting the mark. I began to grow with a relationship now as Jesus, my Savior and Lord, and my friend. Prophecy was formal, but began to move away from that formality into walking a spirit-filled life, not just it's time for a prophecy, but walking a spirit-filled life. And suddenly a whole gambit of things began to open. How I cherish those things which the Lord showed me in those early days, as I should, as we should. Don't throw them away. In fact, I urge you this, that as you recollect things that God has done in your past, hold on to them. Don't throw them away. Say, Lord, I want to embrace what you did then, and I want you to show me more of what that meant in my life, in today's world, and tomorrow's. There's going to be things that are going to happen that are going to shock us. So how could God do that? And yet he will, because he is sovereign. Gabriel knew he was sovereign so much that Gabriel could give a sovereign word to Zacharias and say, that's it for you, pal. No prophecies for 9 months. Now, as a teacher, I'm really glad he hasn't said that to me. Yeah. I rejoice, and I'm so glad. These words aren't just words. I rejoice and so glad. There's a happiness in my spirit that I wish I could transplant into you this morning. You know, as Jean was prophesying this morning, with a loud voice, she was singing and prophesying. That's not by accident. The Holy Spirit breathes into her, and she breathes it out as natural as it possibly can be, as he can with you. You may have never shared in an assembly before, but I encourage you to listen to the Lord. You can do it in different ways. Prophetic prayer being a very powerful tool. So if God just leads you to pray, sometimes the prayers can break through the ice canyons the enemy has been building for centuries. You know, I was listening to a National Geographic expose of Iceland. No, Greenland. I always think get those reversed, because Greenland has all the ice. Iceland hardly has any. But anyway, underneath 3 miles of ice, there's a canyon that's bigger than the Grand Canyon. Nobody has seen it. There's a crater that's bigger than Crater National Park that nobody has seen yet. It's under too much ice. They just recently found it. wasn't there. Well, that was always there. There are things that are in God's heart that he wants to break through. A breakthrough. We've heard about that today. He wants to break through your heart, our heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't let your heart be cast down. Don't give up. Do not grow weary. I can continue, but there are just no more words. Amen? All right, so let's stand together and recommit our heart and lives to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. It isn't about one person. It isn't, but it is. It is about you. And it isn't about one person. It's about her, the church. And it's about those who are in darkness. Father, we just commit our lives to you individually, corporately. Lord God, whatever you want to do with us, that you would bring forth the word of God upon this earth more than it can be done in any other way. And I don't know how that can happen. I really don't. I have no idea. But you do. But I know we have a conference coming up on spiritual warfare in September. And I believe the hearts of men are going to be changed. That people will understand spiritual warfare in a way that we have never known. And that warfare always starts with a conversation that we have with you. The same one that Gabriel had. The same one that Zacharias had. The same one that Elizabeth had. The same one that Mary had. A conversation with God from heaven. Oh God, deliver us from the things of this world. Restore that holiness and righteousness which belongs to us and no one else. It belongs to the church. Iron out those wrinkles, those spots, those things that don't belong to us. Iron them out. And we give our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Amen.